your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Well, hello, folks. This is Paula T., bringing you the best of the best in the new age of trading psychology. It is August 18, 2024. Glad you're here with us today. Now, another trader wrote in this past week and asked me how to overcome fear. Now, he wasn't quite sure what he was afraid of, but he just had an overall sense of hesitancy and paralysis to point and click his mouth. So I'm going to share with you guys tonight a story that I know I've briefly mentioned in the past, but we're gonna go into it a little more in depth. So I think most of us would say that we could probably handle most crises or traumas that happen in our lives, you know, whether they're small incidents or large incidents. I think at least overall, you know, maybe not in the moment, we may not think that we're handling it, but I think when we look back at it, we'll say, you know what, I actually didn't do a bad job. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I feel that I'm pretty good during stress. Now, even though I might be maxed out in terms of stress, I'm still able to cope by assessing the situation and doing what needs to be done, just like we all have to do as traders, given market movement. Now, for those of you who, like myself, might be in the role of a caregiver or were a caregiver to a loved one, there are usually numerous medical crises over and over during the times that your loved one is in your care. Now, I was fortunate to be my mother's caregiver and handled her medical care for years before she passed away from cancer. And that included many late night trips to the emergency room, battles with uncaring and disconnected healthcare officials, as well as arguments with callous doctors and literally incompetent residents. So I don't see myself as what they used to say, a shrinking violet. But I don't consider myself a biatch either, except as needed. And I certainly don't consider myself as someone who's full of fear. However, getting back to the theme of today's discussion, when Mark and I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, we lived in a beautiful home in a gated community on a man-made lake, just a lovely house. And Mark was trading with a client, or he might even have been over, I think he was over at Larry Pesavento's office that day. And I went into the kitchen to start making dinner, and there was a very large spider on the wall. When I say large, I'm saying it was big as my hand, with my fingers outstretched. Okay, so we're talking, you know, 5 to 6 inches. So now Mark and I are of the philosophy we don't kill anything because we just feel, well, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to get up to the pearly gates and have God say, well, you know what, you killed 9,827 ants or whatever, because they're all his creatures. And you may think I take that too far, but I try to respect all living things, but not on this particular day, okay? That spider was just way, way too large. So I freaked out, called Mark on his cell phone, and I'm practically screaming into the phone saying, you have to get home, like, right now. And he said, Paula, it's a spider, okay? Just, you know, put it under a glass, you know, or a bowl or something like that. And I just really laid into Mark, and I said, you have to come home. Anyway, so he was pretty ticked off at me, but he came home, and he walked in the door, and he said, what the heck is going on? And I just pointed to the wall. And this is one of the stories in my book, Success Without Fear. So Mark took a look at it, and he took a step back, and he said, oh, that's big. And I said, yeah, now you know why I was screaming. I was flipped out, guys. I will be honest with you, I was so afraid. I didn't know if it was going to jump on me. I didn't know if it was poisonous. I just didn't know what it was. Anyway, so Mark was very good about finding a huge Tupperware bowl and the lid and kind of captured it. And then he took it down and, you know, released it into the wild back into the park. Well, I had taken a picture of it beforehand. And so I went online, of course. And fortunately, I found out this was classified as a type of crab spider. Let's see, the Latin name is Misomina vascia. Now, one of the reasons they're called crab spiders is their bodies and legs look similar to crabs. They run sideways, and they run very fast. Now, as I read further about them, they do grow from 4 to 6 inches in circumference. They like to live in attics, garages, cool spaces. And the best part of it is they can lay up to several hundred eggs. Now, it also said they weren't poisonous and they didn't, you know, they're not going to attack your pets or kill your pets or anything like that. But the thing that all of a sudden stood out on that website was laying several hundred eggs. So now I was completely full of fear, thinking, okay, this was a mama spider. She just laid her eggs. The house is going to be crawling with them. I mean, I was completely freaked out. So Mark, he's over it. He's like, okay, it's out of the house, whatever, no big deal. He goes back to work. I'm like freaked out. And I went through the entire house. I emptied out all the closets, all the cabinets, the pantry. I went through the garage. I moved all the, you know, all our storage away from the wall. I was spraying Raid everywhere and Lysol. I just thought, oh my God, I can't deal with this. And I couldn't sleep without the lights on for weeks. Every time I felt an itch on my leg or my arm, I was convinced it was a spider crawling on me. I'm telling you, I was just consumed with this fear. I couldn't trade. I could hardly do anything. So as I'm sharing this, you're probably sitting there thinking, my God, you are paranoid. And I was. I was completely out of control with regard to cleaning and searching for any sign of other spiders. And this is what fear does to us, guys. It makes you completely irrational, even when there is no evidence to the contrary that anything bad is continuing to happen. So the reason I'm saying this is because the entire time I was frantically cleaning and spraying and searching for these creatures, I never saw another one of them inside the house. I never saw another one inside the house. And yet, even after several weeks of not seeing one, I was still completely consumed by the fear that there were more inside my house. So what this does is, if we look at a pie chart, which I know you can't see on the radio, but I'm going to kind of break it down verbally. You've got the initial and only sighting of the crab spider, right? Then you capture and release, which Mark did. And then I clean the house. Okay, that's the first part. Then you go on the internet, you read all about it. Then you focus on one part of the description of the spider, which is the possibility of hundreds of baby spiders about to be born in your house. And that leads you to an irrational fear of the crab spider because you're only focused on one element, one part of information about the spider. Now, I have no idea how he got into my kitchen. I don't know. And that's what kind of threw me. Like it appeared out of nowhere. Didn't have the doors open, didn't have the windows open. And that was what threw me. Like if it had been by the door, I would say, okay, well, you know, I guess he crawled in under the door. So anyway, so during the time when all this was happening, I was hosting my chat room for futures and stock traders. And when I mentioned the incident, a couple of the guys, I'll be honest with you, in the chat room, you know, because I had shared the photo in the chat room, they were like, holy crap, you know, that's huge. So it made me feel a little better. But so continuing on in this line of thought, and we are going to turn this around toward trading, guys, because after talking about my experience with my clients in the chat room that day, at the end of that chat session, I began to think about just what it was I was afraid of. meaning, what did that large spider represent to me? Fear of getting bitten? Of course. Possibly getting sick from the bite? Of course. Of course, absolutely, fear of more spiders in my house. But my main question that I had to ask myself was my fear just focused on that spider? Because I didn't want to acknowledge what I was really afraid of. And when I sat down and started to think about just what it was that I was afraid of, I mean, for heaven's sakes, you know, the spider's gone. There's no evidence of any other spiders in the house. I had to be honest with myself, and I was surprised at what I discovered. I discovered that I wasn't really afraid of this creature, that it could have very easily smashed with a rolled-up newspaper, if I so chose to do so. I was just afraid, in general. And what do I mean by that? What it means is that I had to acknowledge to myself that I had fear. Plain and simple, I just had fear. And once I got down to the business of figuring out what I was afraid of, although it was quite amusing at first because the fear of such a relatively small creature compared to my size seemed so lame, but as I delved further into my psyche, it became very interesting. Interesting in the fact that I could now begin to see how my fear, allegedly of this spider, was limiting me to a certain degree, and just as importantly, preventing me from creating and sustaining the success I really wanted. So where did this fear or any fear come from? That's what I had to find out. So I bring this up, guys, because when you guys call me and say, well, I'm afraid, but I'm not really sure what I'm afraid of, this is a good way to go back and start looking at other times when you actually were afraid about something and how you handled it. Now, me, of course, I had Mark to lean on, and he handled the situation in that moment. However, later on that same summer, there were quite a few more crab spiders, which I guess there were like tarantulas there coming out in August to mate, which I found, you know, close to the front door or, you know, on a window outside. And I literally trained myself to relocate them, to break through that fear. So you can train yourself to get out of fear. So hold that thought, and we'll be back after the break. Okay, so as I was saying before the break, this incident with the crab spider, and I call it an incident because it was intense. I mean, of course, I can look back now because it's years later and laugh about it, but I wasn't laughing too much in that moment. I was ready to pack up and move. I'm not kidding you guys, honest to God. I mean, Mark and I got into an argument about this. That's how freaked out I was. Okay, so I'm talking about abject fear of something that is so small, and it was just, it really, but it was good because I learned that I had fear in other areas of my life, but I was just focusing it, my fear, on that spider. So it was a great opportunity that I truly believe that God sent to me one of his messengers, meaning the crab spider, saying, hey, you need to take a look at the fear in the other areas of your life so you can truly feel and explore and experience the type of complete success that you desire. So this is what the new age of trading psychology is all about, is learning that you will receive messages, you will receive answers to your questions and your prayers in a lot of different forms that you may think have nothing to do with trading or success, but they do. And that crab spider incident taught me the true meaning of how to start living without fear. So a lot of traders ask, well, I'm not really sure, you know, what fear is. And I know we all know that, you know, how to, that we have felt fear. You know, like if you're driving in, you know, in the eastern part of the U.S. during winter and you hit a patch of ice on the road and you feel your car move out of control. Yeah, that would be fearful because you don't know if your car is going to go into oncoming traffic or through a guardrail. Of course, in my case, about 10 years ago, I went to Disney World out here in California, or is it Disneyland? I always get those two confused. One's in Florida, one's in California. But anyway, so had a great time there. I went with my bunch of girlfriends, and at the end of the night, we went on, I guess there's a big roller coaster, I don't know the name of it, but it was my first time to the Disney place, and I was so overwhelmed. It was so much fun. Anyway, so we get on this roller coaster. I had not been on a roller coaster in probably 20 years at that point. And it was nighttime. And I think it's called the Matterhorn. Okay. Yes. And okay, I'm sure it's not the biggest, tallest, scariest one in the world, but it was dark. I mean, it was like 8:30 at night and you couldn't see. And I'll tell you, I got my heart pumping, that's for sure. You know, and then, you know, you're wishing it would be over. And then when it is, you're like, oh, let's go back and do it again. But, you know, in that time, you know, it was just really uncomfortable. And there are different levels of fear that we feel. A nagging feeling maybe that something just isn't right. But that wouldn't necessarily stop you from doing anything. And this is where this comes into play with traders. Because you may have that nagging feeling, as I coined the phrase, the twinge, whether it's, you know, a thought in your head, a feeling in your stomach, you know, just something. It's just a twinge. But you still go ahead and move forward putting on that trade or not putting on that trade. So as we explore the dynamics of what fear is, I'm gonna give you some quotes from a good friend of mine, Joe Carocchio, who wrote a book. We wrote the book together, The Law of Distraction and Interruption, which is gonna be republished this fall. And so, fear can be defined as an emotional response to the perception of impending danger of the unknown. Okay. One of life's greatest distractions is fear. The fear of losing a trading, fear of flying, fear of dying, fear of heights, you know, fear of water, and the fear of living, and the fear of success. That's right, the fear of success. This sounds crazy, but so many traders have the fear of success because they've never experienced it before, so they don't know. What are they going to be able to even recognize it? So there was a German Swiss poet, novelist, and painter. His name's Hermann Karl Hesse. And he wrote, and I'm quoting him, "There is no reality except the one contained within us. This is why so many people lead such an unreal life. They take the images outside of them as reality and never allow the world within themselves to assert itself. And that's why you have fear. Because you intrinsically know that you are not listening to yourself when you're trading. You are not following those impulses. I can't tell you how many traders come to me and say, oh, yeah, I'm an intuitive trader. And I'm like, okay, how's that working out for you? Well, you know, I haven't really made any money yet, but I'm intuitive because that's what I want to be. And almost every single trader that contacts me wants to be an intuitive trader. They don't want to be subjective. They don't want to be mechanical. Oh, my God, God forbid they're a mechanical trader. To them, that's not even trading. Well, let me tell you. Some of the best traders I've ever known, including myself, thank you, are mechanical traders because we know ourselves. I could not be a subjective trader. I could not be an intuitive trader. I have my criteria. I have my system. I get my valid setups. I put on those valid trades and I put in my stops to limit my loss. then I walk away from the computer. I don't look at it the rest of the day because I have other things to do, like talk to you guys here, have a workshop, you know, coach people. And plus, I have to take care of my cat, Solomon. And I also have to have a life, okay? So that works for me. Does that make me not a trader? Of course not. It doesn't matter how you trade. It only matters that you trade knowing who you are. So, you know, if we just think about, you know, fear will control our lives 100% if we allow it. Fear will not allow you to be happy. Fear will not allow you to live a productive life because you'll always be thinking, what if? And fear will definitely stop you from being as successful as you want to be. Now, I know we've all heard the old phrase from President Franklin D. Roosevelt, who stated during World War II, there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's true. But we can't let that distract us or interrupt us from our life's goals. We can recognize we have fear, which is exactly what I did with the crab spider. Thank you, Lord. Just to remind me, you know, what, you know, that I, not, you know, what I needed to work on. So, what can you do about facing fear? Well, in the Bible, the book of John, chapter 4, verse 18, it says, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, that doesn't mean perfect love from someone else. That means perfect love of yourself. Dorothy Thompson wrote, only when we are no longer afraid do we begin to truly live. And the book by Richard Bach, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, he wrote, Jonathan Livingston Seagull discovered that boredom and fear and anger are the reasons that a gull's life is so short. And with those gone from his thoughts, he lived a long, fine life indeed. Aung San Suu Kyi wrote, the only real prison is fear, and the only real freedom is freedom from fear. And this is an unknown author, but I almost think it was Marcus Aurelius, but don't quote me on that. But it says, when you conquer fear, you can conquer the world. So it might have been Julius Caesar or, you know, one of those ancient Roman warriors. But anyway, so as we go to break, think about what you're afraid of. Just, you know, make a list. What am I afraid of? Afraid of losing, being wrong, looking stupid, leaving money on the table, not being successful as a trader. Make your list, because until you write it down, you're not going to know what it is you're afraid of. Okay? Be back in a few moments.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay. Hopefully you made your list. And the reason that we're talking about this today, guys, is, you know, we are living in unprecedented times. We've got the election coming up. It's already squirrely in all the media and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we can't let any outside influences interrupt or distract us from making money as traders. Okay? So let's just say you're afraid of whoever's going to get elected. Write that down. Okay? Because that is a valid fear. All right? And this is not a political statement here, but this is a valid fear. We are battling from within, meaning our own hearts, hopes, desires, and we need to be aware of that. Because if you're not recognizing what you're afraid of and accepting that, then you can't overcome it. Okay? So she says, well, I'm just going to ignore the news. Like I've told you before, Mark and I stopped watching the news years ago. Of course, we know what's going on, but, you know, we didn't sit there and watch the nightly news. There's no more Walter Cronkites in the world, okay? There's no more objective media. So it takes a lot of effort to weed through all the negativity out there. And so that's why I limit, and Mark did too, we limited the amount of time that we would watch anything outside of, you know, the realm of what we could find anything out about. And now, you know, with the way the media is being, you know, one-sided or biased to either side, it doesn't matter. But the point is, it's much more difficult to know what's going on. And so more than ever now, we have to follow our faith. We have to follow our hearts. We have to follow our instinct. Because as traders, that's what it's all about anyway. We have to know who we are, what we think, what we believe, what we value, and we have to trade with that. We have to trade with those beliefs, not what anybody else is saying around us. This is what the new age of trading psychology is all about, guys. You have to step into the successful human being, that child of God that was created here on earth. You have to accept that. It doesn't mean you have to be religious. It just means you have to understand what you were created for. You were created to be prosperous. You were created to be happy. And that's why you can't let anybody or anything or any media or anything else interrupt your flow as a trader. And so if you make that list of your fears, now you have a chance to investigate the history of your fear. Write it down. Write those fears down. Say, okay, well, I'm afraid of losing. Why are you afraid of losing? Well, because I don't like to lose. Well, nobody likes to lose. But losing is a part of trading. It's a fact. And if you can't accept that, then get out of trading right now. Go get a paycheck job. Losing is nothing. It's just the cost of doing business as a trader. So when you feel you may be in fear, just take a step back and realize the actions you are about to take. Take a step back, take a breath, and write down what actions you are about to take as a trader. It's not gonna be like some deep mystical thing here, guys. All you're gonna do is write down what you're about to do. Does that make sense? Are you following your trading plan? Is it a valid trade? These are real simple things, guys. But if you don't stop and take an assessment when you feel that you're in fear, then you're going to lose. And then that's going to bring up a whole other list of negative emotions. So the other question that this trader brought up is, you know, how do I control this fear? Well, you can't control your fear. You have to de-energize it. You can't control your emotions. You can't control your reaction to the fear. You have to de-energize it. And the way you de-energize it is if you know what you're afraid of. Now, I had a cabin up in Idlewild here in California, and I just sold it because the market was starting to take a dip. And I didn't really use it that much because it was up in the mountains, and it was nice to get away out of the heat here. But, you know, last year the snow was so deep, I couldn't use it for 5 months. So, it didn't really turn out to be as pleasant as I thought. So, you know, I put it on the market and it sold pretty quickly. So I made my profit range that I wanted. So it was pretty much a turnkey. I had flipped it. I got it real cheap. I flipped it and I did a really good job on it. I really was very happy with it. But there were some things that I took out of it. And one of them was a very large oil painting. And I'm pretty good about seeing critters, okay? Especially it's a cabin in the woods. And I realized I wasn't as really outdoorsy as I thought. So that was another reason I sold it. So there was a lot of, what do you call them? Wolf spiders. Those, you know, those black creepy, they're pretty creepy too. Not as big as the crab spider, but I realized, you know, every time I went up there, they were in the bathroom and I'm like, oh geez. Anyway, so I took some things out and to bring back home before the sale. And one of the ones was this large painting. And so I put it in the garage. I, you know, took it out of my car, put it in the garage. And I had this weird feeling about it, right? And the next morning I went down and I turned it around to look on the inside of it. Yep. What do you guess was there? There was a couple wolf spiders. And one of the wolf spiders had already gotten out and was starting to make a web right by the garage door on the inside. So I did not do my due diligence on checking on these items before I brought them home. So if I hadn't had the experience with the crab spider, I would have freaked out. But instead, you know, I put the painting outside. I got my leaf blower and blew them out of the back of the painting and captured them up and then took them over. We have a little like a little park area right across the street from my complex, and so I just relocated them over to there. So I didn't freak out. I wasn't scared about, oh my God, they're in my garage, they're in my house, you know, whatever, because I had worked through the fear of spiders. Now, I'm not saying I want to live with spiders in my house, okay? If I don't see them, I don't care. But if I see them, they're going to get relocated. So, but my point being is, if I hadn't had that experience with the crab spider and hadn't recognized the message that was being given to me, the beauty of de-energizing my fear of a tiny creature who's just living his life, doing his job, then I wouldn't have been able to handle the wolf spiders that, hey, I'm sure they weren't real pleased about getting relocated from a nice woodsy cabin down here in the desert heat with 120 degrees. So my point is that I know who I am now. And I chose to change my thoughts about fear. I chose what I'm willing to accept about any message that comes my way, no matter where it comes from. Now, the other part of this equation is you have to ask yourself, do you think you can de-energize and let go of these fears? Fear of losing, fear of missing out, getting in too early, too late, analysis paralysis. You have to be honest with yourself. Do you think you can de-energize and let go of these fears? And you're going to have to write down yes or no. And if you think you can, how are you going to do it? And if you don't think you can, why don't you think you can? Now, these are some deep concepts, guys. And for those of you that have seen all our pirated videos on YouTube, this is nothing new to you. You know, for any of you that, you know, have read The Disciplined Trader and Trading in the Zone, this is not news to you. This is what we have been teaching since, I think, our first workshop was in 1990 or 1989. I think it was 1990, with Jack Carl and Associates at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That was our first client. They hired us for all their brokers, and we had an office in the Merc building. And, you know, they would come to us after their trading every single day if they were, you know, having big drawdowns. And this was the type of things that we had to discuss. They had to be willing to face what they were afraid of before they could de-energize it. If you're not willing to face your fears, then you're going to be a boom and buster, plain and simple, the rest of your trading career. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. It's your choice. I'm just giving you another option. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid to lose. You don't have to be afraid of missing out. You don't have to be afraid of not being a successful trader. You don't have to be afraid of looking stupid to anybody else, including yourself, or whatever else you're afraid of. Now, I know I've mentioned before that I had a teacher that called me stupid and ugly for 3 years in a row. And I had to come to terms with that. Now, you may think, why would she, you know, what teacher does that? Well, you know, we're talking back in the early 1970s, and that was long before today's world. And, you know, if she did what she did back to us kids back then, today she'd be in jail. But the point is, those things get embedded in our psyche, and they come out when we least expect it. And it always comes out when we're trading. And you guys know this. You guys know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. So, you know, if you're having some fear about something, anything with your trading, you have to stop and say, what am I afraid of? If you're afraid of losing, then write it down. What does losing mean to you? Let's just use that as an example. What does losing at trading mean to you? Does that mean that you're stupid? Does it mean you don't know what you're doing? Does it mean you have to do more analysis? What does that mean to lose at trading? Or did you just not follow your rules? This is what you have to understand. And when you write down and you figure out what losing means to you, and again, we're just using that for one example here, then you can change it. You can update it. It's real simple. Okay? But you have to write it down. You have to know what you're afraid of. And it can't just be some vague, well, I just don't want to lose. Cool. Then get out of trading, like I said. Because trading, you will have losing trades no matter how perfectly you trade. It's just the nature of the business. So, all right, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back in a moment. Okay, so when you're thinking about what you're afraid of, I want you also to ask yourselves, If you had no obligations to anyone else, would you still be a trader? Now be honest with yourself. If you had no obligations to anyone else, didn't have to answer to anyone else, didn't have to, you know, hurry up and make the money, didn't need to make the money, whatever your reasons are for getting into trading or sticking with it. If you had no obligation to anybody else and you could just do whatever you wanted, would you still be a trader? How many of you out there would still be a trader? Now, on the other side, because you do have obligations, what is making you stay at trading? Because almost every single one of you, there's very few single traders that contact me because, you know, for the most part, they don't usually have any problems because they don't have obligations. You know, they don't have mortgages or car payments or, you know, or school tuitions or, you know, and things like that. So, you know, if you have obligations to others, what is keeping you at trading? What feeling do you have makes you stay trading? What keeps you trading? What is it about what's inside of you that keeps you trading? You got to write this down, guys. This is really important, okay? I as I told you before, you know, when Mark died, I lost everything. I couldn't trade for 2.5 years, financially as well as emotionally. But I still watch the markets. And even good friends would say, well, why are you watching the markets if you're not trading? Well, because I'm a trader. Just because I'm not trading right now because I'm not emotionally capable of it, due to all the other circumstances, the financial circumstances, and, you know, losing my partner, my best friend, doesn't mean I'm not a trader. Just because I'm not in a trade at this moment or for months at a time doesn't mean I'm not a trader anymore. And this is a mistake that a lot of you guys out there make. You feel that you have to be in the market all the time to, quote, be a trader. You do not. You could look at those markets. You could study your charts for months on end. You could do simulated trading for 3 years. I would still consider you a trader because you are in the market, whether it's simulated paper money, whatever you want to call it, paper trading or not, or you haven't put on a trade in weeks or months. That doesn't not make you a trader. It doesn't negate you as a trader. I know traders have put on 2 trades a year. So you have to define what it means to you. What makes you a trader? What is that definition? And like I said, just because I didn't trade for 2.5 years because of all the crap that was going on in my life doesn't mean I was no longer a trader. Just meant I wasn't trading in that moment during that time frame. So what? Who cares? I've been trading since 1984 or 1983. So, you know, 2.5 years because there's a lot of stuff going on. I wasn't about to trade and lose money, especially money I didn't have. I was living on borrowed money at the time. So once all that stuff was taken care of, I got back into physically trading because I had the financial wherewithal to get back into it on my own without borrowing money. I was still up to date on market data. So don't be afraid if you have these times where you can't trade financially. That's part of the reason I'm bringing up. Don't be afraid of that because you can still look at your charts. You can still know what's going on in the markets, even though you can't put on a trade for whatever reasons. I mean, I'm just talking financially. I'm not talking about any other reasons that you might call me for coaching. But so you are still looking at the markets. You're still doing your analysis. You know, talking about, you know, even if you're paper trading, you're still a trader. Okay? So keep that in mind. And what this does is this helps you believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself to be successful as a trader. And at many times, we're going to have to truly believe in this quote from Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and of evidence of things not seen. I know we've heard this a million times, but it's true. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we can't see the road ahead. We just have to believe that we are going to make it. We are going to do it. And remember, I'm sure you've probably seen the movie Rudy, about the young guy who wanted to play football at Notre Dame. I think it was back in the 70s and came from a really poor family. They worked in the steel mills and all that. But in his book, he writes, because everybody was telling him to give up his dream. Everybody was telling him he'll never do it. And what he wrote was, part of the sentence was, quote, "Some part of me always held on to my dream, and that's what saved me." And ultimately, he did play for Notre Dame. Might have only been one game, but the bottom line is, he achieved his goal. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter what he had to do it. So keep that in mind, okay? All that matters in any of these discussions, all that matters is that you do what is right for you. Learn to embrace your own dignity, whatever that means to you. If that means that you're going to be a trader the rest of your life, then be one, but be the best you can be. So to any of my skeptics out there who say, well, you know, what makes you an expert and how can you say you're the best of the best? Well, I am. I am because I know myself and I'm the only one that can share all this with you. Because I gave myself permission to follow my dream, even after I lost everything. I was like, okay, I got to pick myself up and start over. I understood what fear was and I knew that didn't have to be a part of my life any longer. And I had to start loving myself for who I was right then and there. And because I did that, I look forward to each day. And I know now that I can achieve anything. Because I have success without fear. I'm living proof, guys. Again, this is Paula T. Webb, New Age of Trading Psychology. Feel free to reach out. Give me a call. A free call option is available to everyone. Visit me at www.paulatweb.com and have a lovely, lovely rest of your weekend and a great and fantastic trading week. Take care.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.